our scripture this morning as I go in and use what we've been reading about for the month, the book of Proverbs, and tying all of these different ideas together to make it one nice little pot pie of truth for our Father. And my scripture, and I invite you to read Matthew 5 and 6 after our time together today, and I hope that you're able to see it through new eyes. And my focus is going to be Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I'm going to be showing us some ideas today about what that scripture looks like for us as we begin with the end in mind, as we get back to the future, as we consider racial reconciliation. But not only that, my topic for today is spiritual beings having a human experience. When wisdom and folly kiss. And I'm going to go back to the Matthew scripture. Be ye perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, how many of you watching TV, listening to music, going about your way, and you always hear, nobody's perfect. We are not perfect. And one of the last times I was here, I invited y'all to say after me, I am perfect in Christ Jesus. Y'all remember that? And I know that we as humans, we are going, no. The only perfect person is Jesus. But I'm inviting you to look at this scripture from Matthew with different eyes today, because it will make a big difference in how we end up being able to begin with the end in mind from, I'm going to say, a more empowered place of being. Beginning with the end in mind, knowing what Christ has said to us. Now, how many of y'all think that when Christ tells us something, he's just kind of teaching and he's talking? How many of you know that when Christ speaks, it's not a suggestion? It is decree and command. So I would like to invite you to look at this scripture from what Jesus said and not what humanity tries to persuade us. And just remember that Jesus does not persuade. He command and he decrees. He doesn't have to demand because he is God manifested in flesh. So let me give you an example of what it looks like when wisdom and folly kiss. How many of you, when you're working on a project and you have a specific way you want it done, it can't just be ripshod, it can't just be thrown together, it has to be put together in a special way. You know how you want it, and sometimes people get aggravated with you, and what do we say? Okay, I'll tell you what I say. Well, I can't help it. I'm just a perfectionist. Have y'all ever said that? That's just the way I am. I'm just a perfectionist. I'm going to do my best. My work represents me. This is who I am. I'm a perfectionist. Has anybody ever said that? I'm just a perfectionist. I'm not going to get up here and sing. I'm not going to go out here. I'm not going to present anything that has my name on it. Why? I'm just a perfectionist. Okay. So why can you be a perfectionist there? and not be a perfectionist in terms of what Christ said. Because don't forget, we say, hey, I'm not perfect. We drop the ball, we do whatever. Hey, I'm not perfect, but I bet you we know about being a perfectionist, okay? I'm just giving us some ideas to think about as we pick and choose how we prefer to embrace the perfection which Christ has already decreed that we have. Well, what does that look like whenever we're beginning with the end in mind? You already know you can't fail. And I'm going to throw this out if you're taking notes, just as a sidebar, because I may not get to say it again. Just put it over there. There are three things that we are going to consider as we walk into who our Father, Elder Brother, the Holy Spirit says we are. We cannot lose, which means if we say there is no failure in God, so we cannot fail, and there's no such thing as loss. Because if there's no failure and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, the myth, if you will, of failure, loss, does no longer exist, or it no longer exists. How can I say that? It's a state of mind. It's what we teach ourselves to know about. It's about how we can see God in one way and not see him in another. I'm not playing with this phone. Did you get my PowerPoint? I thought I had PowerPoints behind me this morning. Okay, y'all know how I like playing with PowerPoints. I didn't even think to ask. Okay. So I guess I do need this. So as I said, our thought for today is spiritual beings having a human experience when wisdom and folly kiss. Now, this is where I have asked very kindly for my sister, Deneen, and my brother, Jerry, to come up here and be my physical examples for me. I know that's a strange topic when wisdom and folly kisses. But I want y'all to stand like y'all stood on the day y'all got married. Whichever side, just stand in front of me. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here. Yes. Before God and all the people. And who we're bringing today is wisdom and folly. And we are so glad to bring them together at this time because they are going to be an example of us for what a spiritual being having a human experience looks like. And I believe when y'all were wedded all that on that day, y'all became one. And you cannot be separated. So as we talk about wisdom and folly coming together in a kiss, y'all don't have to kiss this morning. But what that looks like for us, turn around towards the people and hold hands. Is that okay? All right, y'all look at each other. These two have been joined together and they cannot be separated. Do we agree with that? All right, y'all can go back to y'all's seat. Now, as they go their separate ways, they are still one, are they not? Whether I see Deneen at the mall and Jerry at O'Reilly's, when I see him, I see her. And when I see her, I see him. That's what it's like. I hope I'm not losing y'all. That's what it's like for us to be spiritual beings having a human experience. I'm sorry. This little thing? Y'all know the pastor's very special when it comes to electronics. That's why she's struggling with her phone. Okay. Okay, well, you can just move it forward for me. yeah, then I won't have to tackle my dear friend. I wasn't going to pop you in public. So y'all have to realize I have to play it off. So when we get down, you can go to the next one. This will help me with my thought processes. Matthew, keep going to the next one. Here we are, because I wanted to see this graphic. Because very often when we see ourselves, when we think about how we are, we see ourselves separate. We try to separate, it seems, or often it seems like we get separated from knowing what it really means to be a spiritual being, having a human experience. But if we're going to experience some, I'm going to use the word success because Joshua says we will have good success. So for us to have success in whatever our endeavors in, we have to know what we're working with. And wisdom and folly is another way of saying we are spiritual beings having a human experience. How many of you, since you've been on this journey trying to live for the kingdom, you still really look like something other than kingdom kids? Have y'all ever had that experience? That's what we call wisdom and folly kissing. That is the epitome of a spiritual being having a human experience. But we don't hear very much of that. Will you go to the next slide, my brother? I put it like this. My experience has been, I know so much about what being human looks like. And sometimes I just don't know exactly how do I express and be an example of spirit. Can you see spirit? Can you see the air we're breathing right now? I know I just had breath. Can you touch love? We feel pain, but actually you can't even touch pain. So on this journey, we are discovering, or I'm discovering more and more, there are more spiritual aspects of things going on in our life than we recognize. But we tend to end up focused on, quote unquote, the human or the folly. Spiritual represents wisdom. Folly is the human experience. The same way I cannot separate my heart and live, I cannot separate my spirituality from my humanity. And I think that's where the conflict comes in. We can go to the next one. This right here means go to the next one. And so this is our definition this morning of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is a deep understanding and realization of people, places, things, events, or situation resulting in the ability to apply perceptions, judgments, and actions in keeping with the understanding, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And what is folly? The next thing is, and just listen and think about what it is. What is folly? Folly is a state of equality or of being foolish, lacking understanding or sense, a foolish action, practice, idea, all absurdity. Okay? Next one, my brother. So when we start thinking about what these things are and what they look like in our life, this is why it is so important to us, for us to remember who and what we are. If we're going to begin with the end in mind and we're going to knock it out the park, we have to know who we are. We are not human beings having spiritual experiences. Feel like it sometimes, but what we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Okay, brother? And so as we go forward in making the transition of having our eyes opened and becoming more aware, one of my favorite scriptures is how we get there. And how we get there is Yoda and Paul. Paul tells us, do not conform to this world, a world that tells you you're not perfect. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, this Romans 12:2 is what Yoda says. No different, only different in our mind. The world isn't different. The world becomes different in our mind. Why? Because we must unlearn what we have learned. Repeat after me. Unlearn what we have learned. Next one. Now, what does that look like? If we have to unlearn what we have learned, here are some of the precepts that we have learned along the way, or that I've learned all the way. Whatever it is we're doing, and sometimes it may be hard. It says, oh, it's going to be hard. It's too hard. But what we're going to unlearn today is what Proverbs says about things being hard. Proverbs 13:15. Y'all remember reading this? And it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Y'all heard that one before? It's going to be hard. You give your life to the Lord, it's ready to be hard. Well, that's not what it says in Proverbs. I mean, if you're a transgressor, next time you hear, or if you find yourself saying, but it's so hard, it's going to be hard. If you're a transgressor, who are you, spiritual being, having this human experience? And the counterpart to that is what Jesus said. Here we go again. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're telling the one who told us the way it can be easy. I mean, I used to love that song by James Cleveland. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Well, Dr. Cleveland, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't believe I brought you this far to make it hard. I will transpose the words. So we have to think about what we are saying and why we believe what we believe. Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb. Lord, don't move my stumbling block, but lead me all around. Who sung that? When he said, speak to the mountain, and you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. So why are you going to climb something whenever you can say, move, move, get out the way, get out the way, get out the way. However you want to sing it, God inspires all. I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. I'm so sorry. I really am. I may not understand how that mountain is going to get out of my way. Now, somebody had it right. Move, mountain, mountain, get out of my way. That's how you move a mountain. Yes, the name of the song. Let me tell you how to move a mountain. I'll tell you how. Don't try to climb it. Okay? We have to unlearn some of these things which we have learned. Oh, I'm so tired. I don't feel good, and I can't. I believe it's Joel who said, let the weak say I'm strong, I'm broke. Let the poor say I'm rich. We have to unlearn what we have learned. Don't think about it, but let's think about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, why can't I embrace his yoke? And that which I have to do can be easy if I can do all things. Just how you look at it. I like my chicken boiled, fried, barbecued, and grilled, and some kind of time all other kinds of ways. You don't have to eat the chicken any kind of way. And that's how we have to be careful and aware of how and what we are choosing on our journey as spiritual beings having this human experience. What else we got here? We already been here. I'm not perfect. Nobody perfect. Everybody, please write this down, and I hope y'all have a good King James Bible to look at it. And I love it when God gives a word that shatters the truth. Now, how many people you've heard say, ain't nobody perfect but Jesus? The only perfect person is Jesus. Well, excuse me, let's go look in the Old Testament and see what it say about Job. Job 1. Now, there was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. That man was, perfect and upright. And one that feared God and eschewed, avoided, got away from evil. And that's why we come back to, boom, Matthew 5:48. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I know when we're thinking about this and your brain is probably going, yes. Because when we say nobody is perfect, what are they talking about? When we say, well, nobody's perfect, this person did this, well, don't worry about it, baby, nobody's perfect. T'Challa, y'all remember that scene in Black Panther when T'Challa was upset because his father had left his brother's child in America and he became Killmonger and he came to claim the throne? And the girl, I can't say her name, Nikoya, I don't remember her name right now, and she was saying, but T'Challa, your father is a good man. Nobody is perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. You cannot base your life on a person who is imperfect. All she had to say was, you know, we all make bad choices and we don't understand why. But we've been programmed to help people feel better and comfort them by saying, but nobody's perfect. Okay, well, what you wanting to be perfect in? Have you ever wanted to pop somebody because they mistreated you, but you didn't? Have you ever wanted to just not forgive ever as long as you both shall live? But you really started having an intimate relationship with forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You will be forgiven by the Father as you forgive others. So when we start thinking, read Matthew 5, then you'll have a clearer understanding of what Jesus means to spiritual beings having human experiences. Your perfection is who he says you are. No one can take it, but we can give it away. And in believing what somebody says who has no thorns, no sacrifice on our, we gonna believe a person? Because they cannot explain what perfection is, whoever the big they are. Nobody can explain what perfection is. Jesus can tell you what he's talking about. I will not hate you. I am going to return your good deed. Doesn't it say that in Proverbs, y'all? If your enemy has done something to him, give them a cup to drink. If they're hungry, feed him. Best way to burn down a house, because you heap coals on the head. Well, I didn't say it like that. But y'all get what I'm saying. we tend to get people back. But this is what folly does. Because we're in a place where it's the ultimate kiss of love. And I say it like that because we cannot separate those times when we are fabulously wise and deplorably filled with folly. So, since the big word with the bright light, that's how we come into this new understanding of perfection in Christ Jesus. Grace. It is grace that helps us see what that looks like, so that when we begin whatever it is we begin, we know that it's already done. We just have to begin with the end in mind. That's why I like the graphic. In the middle of the graphic, it has vision. We have to know what it is. But not what that project, that task, that thing is, only having a vision of it. Yes, we have a vision of that, but we have to keep the vision of who God says that we are. That's the vision that brings forth manifestation of the other vision. So how do we do it? This is one of my favorite books, y'all. I put a copy of the cover of the book as well as what the four agreements are. Great book. Please. $4.95, $5, whatever, on Amazon, reasonably priced. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and wisdom and folly are just, you know, on soul train, coming down the line, just dancing. It's called life. But you recognize they on beat. How do wisdom and folly kiss and have a divine relationship? This is one way. The four agreements, and I'm going to go through them real quickly. The first one is make your words impeccable. If you would like to do an exercise, find scriptures or ask the Holy Spirit to open up your mind. And whenever you hear these four agreements, what scriptural foundation can you stand firm in? So one, make your words impeccable. Two, don't take anything personally. Three, make no presumptions. And my favorite one, four, always do your best. So if we're going to make our words impeccable, you know, be careful about what you say, even as you're joking. I love to joke, so I have to be very careful about what I say. Because even the joke will come home and sit beside you. And you'll be wondering, well, how did that happen? Well, you made a joke about it. Be funny if ain't always funny. Okay? So watch your words. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Y'all know all those things. Watch your mouth is what my grandmama used to say. Make your words impeccable. Don't take anything personally. Lord knows, sometimes I wonder. And those are the days when I like to stay at home. Because sometimes we aren't always the nicest people. And when we go out, we can be really mean. Like, really mean. We don't even mean to, but we just bite people's head off. That's where don't take anything personally comes in handy. Just because I'm having a bad day, some people having bad days like to make other people have bad days too. Misery loves company. So don't take it personally. Put a bright, bright light of Christ around you, you spiritual being, and say basically what Christ says, none of these things move me. Take no thought. Because we don't know why people are behaving the way that they are. The second one, basically those two go together. Don't assume anything. If somebody looking at me like, or they could say something, walk past me. Oh, well, gee whiz, I guess I'm a chair again today, Jesus. I'm right here. Hey, how you doing? Don't make any assumptions, y'all. Worst case scenario, God forbid, don't let it happen. They could have just gotten a diagnosis. They did not see you. They just found out that a family member has a diagnosis. Whatever the case, we don't wave banners about our distress. That's why it's important that when we are treated in a way that just doesn't feel well, we don't want to make any assumptions. Just do your best. That will fall under thoughts. Those two are under the thoughts. Those are thought processes. And that's where wisdom and folly really have to be careful about how they're dancing. Because folly makes it personal. Folly has a whole story about what just happened. Wisdom says a prayer. Just don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. We don't take it personally, okay? That's wisdom. Taking it personally, making assumptions, that's folly. I have done the best I can. Well, this was a bad situation. Is there something different you could have done? Nope, I already did the best I could do. Well, I know, but that really was a janky situation. Excuse me for saying janky. But it was the best. I like Donnie McClurkin's song, Stand. When you've done all you can do, just stand. Stand. This is my best. And I feel like I know I heard my father say, this is my child in whom I'm very well pleased. Who are you again? Stand and stand there for on the best that you know that you could do, and all you had to do, just stand. Your face is like Jesus going towards Calvary. It is like flint. And that is your truth. And I'm honoring my truth, because trying to agree with you because you may not understand it denies mine. And that's what a spiritual being having a human experience looks like. And we're going to see what's next here. This is what spirit, I just said that. This is what spiritual beings having a human experience look like. And one of my favorite verses too from Psalms 85. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This top part is the Katie Webb translation of Psalms 85. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And we live in harmony because we've made a basic understanding. And the basic understanding is, as Donald Lawrence said, let me be spiritual. We already are. Teach me how to be spiritual. Help me become more Christ consciousness about my spirituality. Because, honey, I know how to be human. We're only human, of flesh and blood, a man. Y'all remember that song from the 80s, The Human League? No, we're not only human. We are so much more. And if we're going to begin with the end in mind, we have to remember what it looks like. And how do we do it? I guess y'all wonder, why do I always do this thing about Baptist, slide about baptism? We got to take a bath every day, sometimes twice a day. And that is how we stay so connected with remembering that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We have to remember our baptism. Because it washes and cleanses us, purges and perfects us, renews and restores us, heals us and completes us. Remember the water that cleanses us. It is. That water is the ultimate exchange of our humanity for Christ's divine spirit and presence, which dwells within us. The most beautiful kiss. The wisdom, the faithfulness, the love of our Father manifested in us, as Yoda says, this crude flesh. You are more than this. Y'all, I like doing voices, okay? You're more than this being. But God loves us enough to be housed in us. The ultimate act of, I mean, he made us human. And his spirit kisses us constantly, reminding us, you're my daughter, you're a child of the Most High God. I gave my life for you when I was manifested in the flesh of Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you who you are. You are perfect. Because spirit can't be anything other than who our Father says it is. But our humanity will stand there and fight. How you gonna fight something you can't see? They gonna think you crazy. What you fighting? God has already said it. Sorry, my perfect people. So we're in a conflict, trying to do something, somebody that probably don't even know Jesus. Well, you know Jesus. So there are pastors and people that say those same words, nobody's perfect. You got two scriptures, Job 1 and Jesus in Matthew 5:48, to say, I don't know what you're talking about, but my perfection is based on Calvary. Some blood was shed for me, and I'm not going to let you take something away that I treasure beyond anything. Your opinion. You don't even have a definition. Next time somebody say ain't nobody perfect, ask me, how do you define perfection? Well, you're not perfect. Oh, I am. How do you define perfection? I'm sitting here wanting to cuss you, but the Lord is keeping my mouth shut. How's about that? I was driving down the road and I almost hit a deer and ran in a ditch. And I prayed for the deer that it would live longer and not curse it from running from a place that it doesn't have to call home. I'm not angry on the road when I'm driving and where I would normally have road rage because somebody going 25 miles an hour and I'm trying to go 35, you know, in a 10 or 50 in a 35. And I'm mad. Get out the way. Move. Get out the way. But I don't do that anymore. Remember what I told y'all? Write it down. I'm not sinless. I sin less. I am perfect, but I'm not sinless. I'm just struggling with a moment where wisdom and mercy are having a kiss. And I'm trying to get back over here in the spiritual aspect of things because my humanity is really having a different thought on how to respond to this. That's the beauty. That's the ultimate intimacy. That's the ultimate understanding of God's love poured out on us. That's a perfect example of what's going on in the waters of baptism. Just washing. And that's why we have to remember what makes us who we are. You're going to begin with the end in mind. Remember who you are. Remember what you are. Remember what you're working with. And not only will 22 be fabulous, the rest of your days will be amazing. Because why? Repeat after me. Because We are spiritual beings. Spiritual beings. Having a human experience. And by the grace of God, I'm perfect. Y'all work out y'all's soul salvation, and I'm going to work with this one. Because I'm being who God says I am. I'm not sinless, but it's a whole lot of stuff. I don't even think about doing them anymore. Why? Because I got a little bit edge on the spiritual and a lot less grip on the human. I don't act the way I used to act, not because I'm too old or I just can't. No, 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 no. That spirit has come through. And finally, my brethren, how are we going to do it? 1%. Everybody do this. 1%. Every day, all day. Just think about how you can be 1% more spiritual. Because we have been being 75% human. Maybe 25% spiritual. I love God and I trust him and believe him. Ooh, how am I going to take care of this bill, Lord Jesus? Lord, I thank you that you're going to take, honey, you know they say it don't look good. Father, I know that you said, look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Where am I going to get what I need from? That's called being 50% spiritual, 50% human. That is called the epitome of wisdom and folly and a gift. So if we want them to be in a long embrace and walk and have a long time relationship that's beautiful and works and lasts, 1%. Lord, I thank you. I'm not thinking about this thing right now. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to be still and know that God is God. That's 1%. Just before you panic, pause. 1%. Remember, dear, if you're in a company, 51% of the stock beats 49. All it takes is 1%. Okay? All right. Let us stand.